Alana Dunn, welcome to the MTIG podcast.
I'm so excited to be here for like multiple reasons, but first and foremost, I'm just so excited to hang out with you guys again.
Truly, I really felt like, of course, every time Michelle and I record, I'm so excited. And then when we have guests, it's like a little bit of a different energy, like in an excitement way, but a little bit of nerves and the prep is different. I truly felt like today that we were like just going out to lunch with a friend. Like I was just like so excited for the girly time.
No, that is exactly what this is.
Oh yeah. It was an effervescence that like surfaced when I woke up this morning. I was like, yes, we get a lunch this afternoon.
Question. So I think I'm finally figuring it out. And I've been wondering this. I've been wondering if you record in the same place or if you just have the same wallpaper and you have the same wallpaper. And that is so impressive.
What? First of all, the fact that that was even a question, I'm pats on the back rest, snaps for us. I thought that was very obvious that same. We were not in the same place.
I really wasn't sure, and I've been trying to figure it out, and I'm very impressed.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was in the earlier days, because this is going to be episode 62.
Yeah.
So in the earlier days, we kind of had like very different backgrounds and then kind of, you know, made our way here, but then formally got some wallpaper to put up behind us. And
I love it.
That's what we're sticking with for right now.
All right.
I'm sure you see this too, Alana, when you go back to some of your earlier clips and you're like, oh, okay, that's what that looked like.
I can't even fathom, like, if my form of torture would be having to sit in a room listening to, like, the first 10 episodes of Seeing Other People. There's nothing I would ever want to do less than listen back to me at that point.
Yeah, it's probably different when you're operating solo like you are. Like, I listen back to Mel and I'm like, damn, we sound good. But the way we look, the way we look, my microphone is, like, here. And Mel's like, you gotta sit back.
Yeah, like you're gonna sound your great. Microphone.
Content, sure. 10 out of 10.
Agreed.
Because you started so in your parents' house during COVID. I guess this, we could probably do a formal introduction here, but or just jump right in.
Do we want to do that first, Mel?
Sure.
Okay, so formally, Alana, we're so excited to have you here. You are the host, the esteemed host of Seeing Other People podcast, and we're just so happy to have you on in our unicorn space today. We love that your podcast space really dives deep into the realities of modern love and dating and really keeping the spark alive, which is so important no matter what phase or stage you're in. So again, we're just over the moon to have a fun girly chat with you today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I got so many messages after my episode with you guys of people just being like, this was such an amazing conversation. They're so cool. Like everyone said what I was thinking and what I told you, which is like, I want to be you guys combined when I grow up. But no, I that was such an amazing conversation and I'm excited for today's as well.
Oh, thank you for saying that. That's so sweet. And we had so much fun. It was like the highlight of one of the best things we did this past year in terms of just like the day and everything. So
it's a bookmark day in my heart.
So yeah, jumping right back in, Alana, you got started in your parents' house during COVID, right? That's how, so thinking about listening back to, I mean, it was a different lifetime for you.
Beyond. I mean, I am so grateful for that chapter of my life because it led me to where I am today. But I mean, like, it's so crazy to think about then versus now. And when I started podcasting, I was still working at Hinge. And so my first podcast was a Hinge podcast. And that's what really led me to figure out like, wow, this is what I want to be doing with my life.
Wow. And what year was that?
That was 2020. So that was when I started in my parents' basement. And then that started in March of 2020. And then November of 2020, I got laid off. I lost my job. And I immediately was like, I am not applying to work anywhere. I know what I want to do. I'm going to do it on my own. And 6 weeks later, the first week of January 2021, I launched Seeing Other People from my bedroom.
And here we are. That's so exciting. 4+ years later.
Insane. That's amazing. since you are a listener of The Intake, we love to create some space for our guests to share Two Truths, No Lies, which is our take on our permission slip, if you will, to competing or conflicting thoughts or feelings or experiences can exist at the same time. And before we started recording, you're like, oh, I have so many. I can't wait. So I'm excited to hear what you brought to our Two Truths, No Lies table today.
So I've been thinking about this, and one came up like right before I sat down here, and one came up in a conversation with a friend earlier in the week. The first one being, I am not hungry and I want to eat food. Because all morning I have not been hungry for a second and I cannot stop eating. And I keep going back to my kitchen, grabbing a snack, and I'm like, I don't want to put food in my stomach because I'm actively not hungry, but I just can't stop eating. There's nothing else I want to be doing. So that's okay, because it's something that I want to do, and therefore it's bringing me joy in the moment. I don't know, but I thought that was funny.
Wait, I need to unpack it real quick. Do you have something at home right now that you're loving? Like, do you have a certain snack or something that is bringing you there? Or you're just genuinely just like, I'm just like in a snacky mood. She's a snacky snackster.
I'm in a snacky mood. Every time it's been like a different snack. And I'm like, I don't even want this. I just like want to eat.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's amazing. I also love that, Alana, because I feel like our two truths are usually more like serious. And that is an amazing example of a two truths to just apply to any stinking thing. That's amazing.
No, quite literally. Also, I found out probably, I want to say it was like 5 years ago, that one of my tells on procrastinating is snacking.
That is probably a huge part of the reason I've been doing.
I don't know when and how and like when it dawned on me, but I realized like, oh, I am fully going to go eat because I'm avoiding starting the next step.
It's classic avoidance. Yeah. Let me search and scan so I
definitely
avoid.
A little bit of that going on. I do have a more serious one, though. This came up in a conversation with a friend earlier in the week where she had been really like traumatized by a work experience and a specific work person. And that person recently resurfaced like on social media, and she was very like triggered, if you will, by it. And she's like, I know it sounds stupid that I'm not like over it, but this just like brought back so many feelings for me. And I'm like, listen, like I had a dream last night about my ex from like 7 years ago. I am over him, but what he did still impacts me. And that's the same thing in her case. Like, she has moved on. She has gotten an amazing new job that she's been in for 4 years that she's crushing it at. But what happened and what her former boss, like the way she behaved and the way it impacted her, that still is within her. And so I literally said to her, I'm like, we are able to move forward and not ever be fully accepting or fully over what happened to us. Like, it's allowed to stay with us and we've moved forward. And I think that's a really good, you know, use case for two things can be true at the same time. And it doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. Like, I would prefer to not have dreams about my psycho ex who ruined my life, but I can't control that. But I moved forward with my life. I learned from the experience. I grew from it. And, you know, it's still a part of my story.
That's growth. Right. Mm-hmm. If we're just ignoring or not paying tribute to the pieces of us and all the pieces of us and our full journey, then what is the evolution after all? Right. Yeah. And I think it's so important. I'm so glad that your friend had you in that moment, because I think we tie growth and healing to being able to distance or disconnect from certain things. And I think it's actually quite the opposite. I think it's coming to a place where you can be mindful and you can reflect upon those situations and pay tribute to the way it makes you feel and the way it made you felt, and then look at where you are currently and move forward with that.
It also comes back to my take on like when people say, I don't care. No, care so much, or I'm over it. You might not be, don't be over it yet, and use that as fuel to figure out like, okay, I'm not over it, so here's what I need to do to get more over it. Like, there's no point to stuff it, because then it's just gonna come up in ways that you also really didn't expect to.
I was walking to go vote this morning, and I love eavesdropping. It's like my favorite sport. And this woman, she was behind me at first, and then I slowed down so we could be like walking next to each other so I could really hear. She was on the phone. And what caught my attention, the first thing I heard was, "I would rather die than stay married to him."
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm like, oh my God, what did he
slowing
do?
Down.
I'm like, what? Like, I need to know everything. I only got to walk with her for about like a block and a half before I had to turn. But they've been married for 14 years. She wasn't asking for much in the divorce. But that's all I know. It didn't sound like he royally messed up and like cheated on her or something. Just from what I heard, it was more just like she hates him. Like she just doesn't want to be around him. And I wish I had more. But that's one of those situations where like, yeah, like this woman should not ever say she's over this. Like if she's not, she's clearly not right now.
Exactly.
She might not ever be.
Right. Your emotions are such valuable information and motion in moments like that. And when someone's like, "I don't care, I'm over it." Well, it's showing otherwise.
Yeah. I didn't suggest you're not.
Yeah. Correct. But it seems that you do really care, and it's okay to care. It's okay to not be over it yet. We fight to think we're over it or think we don't care. It's okay.
Care. Even in the healthiest of relationships. My marriage, for example, not to say it's the healthiest of relationships, I'm putting it on that pedestal, but we try really hard. And I find myself in these like knee-jerk remote moments to want to be relaxed about something and like be like, it's okay, we're gonna be flexible, it's fine. And then I find myself like it coming up, and I've learned over time that trying to be flexible in that moment or trying to go against the current of what I'm actually feeling is going to elicit a much bigger response down the road, rather than just being calm and naming what I'm actually feeling in that moment. So I'll give you guys a literally perfect example. I am, what am I now? 23 weeks pregnant, Michelle? Something around
yeah,
there?
Yeah, 23 today.
Yeah, I think today. Yeah.
Tuesday.
So I'm very pregnant. Well, so much further to go. I shouldn't even say very, but I feel that way. And it's a heat wave, so I can say it. But a common theme that's been going on recently is just like the support on the days that my husband's in the city, because it's just getting harder for me to manage. And both physically and emotionally.
Holistically.
Last week, it was like, you know, my daughter has to get to school early for this accreditation thing, blah, 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 blah. And the pressure cooker of me having to get her out of the house by a certain time was really tripping me up. So my husband's like, I will take her to school on the days I'll go in late, so on and so forth, and get her there. Cut two, he had a very legitimate reason why that plan didn't happen today.
Plan
and last
B.
Last night, he was like, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I felt myself, because a rational brain knows he has a reason why. He's not just flaking. Like, there's a reason why he can't do this. But, like, exhausted pregnant self is like, but I'm annoyed. And I felt being like, nope, it's okay. You have to do what you have to do. I'm a flexible, supportive wife. And then as, like, the night went on, I just, like, felt myself, like, kind of, like being like, well, yeah, I mean, like, this is the first day that you said you were going to do it and you're already not. Like, and you're just like drilling into it, Julia. It's like, I'm not over it. I'm not okay. But like, instead, I pulled myself back and I was like, listen, I just need you to tell me that you're sorry. Like, whether it's a situation is warranted, like, I just want you to give me a hug and tell me, like, I'm sorry. I know this is a lot to ask, even though it's not. It's bringing my daughter to school. But like, I know it's a lot to ask. I know you're really counting on me. And I'm really sorry that I can't be there. That's all I need right now. And like, getting to a point in your relationship where you can actively recognize that and say that to your partner. And then he can be like, okay, I'm really sorry. Yeah. I know this is a lot on you. And just give it back to you. And I'm like, okay, I feel better now. Like, so anyway, don't stuff it. Don't put it down. Call it out. No matter what it is, whether it's this man that you want to divorce and you hate him, or it's just your husband that you love very much.
I really wish I got more details. Like, I wanted to keep walking with her, but it was too hot out. I had to get on with my day, but She seemed to really hate him.
Oh my God. I think I would have just followed, honestly. Like, I think I just would have been like, we're going in the same direction. And then when she hung up, just maybe asked if she needed to go get a cup of coffee.
That's so funny. Wait, Mel, I have a two truths, no lies to that anecdote, though.
Let me hear it.
Okay, so it's really unexpected, right, that Mike had to do that. And it's also really annoying. Like, you get it. But when you kind of carve out the space to name it, even to him, I'm glad that you also said, like, what you wanted to hear, too, because that's important. Do some modeling. Yep. But at the same time, like, it's unexpected. You understand. You're going to be supportive. And at the same time, it's really effing annoying because it puts more on you.
I wish I would have texted you last night. That's so good. And I feel like I'm going to put out a little post-it because I feel like that will probably something to fall into that two truths and a lie will probably happen again. So, like, I think we're going to hold on to that one for the next time.
And at least it can alleviate the bracing for impact when you're just like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, like, ooh.
Right. Like, prime it a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we learned last week, and this is a story for another day, Alana, it's okay that you have permission to snap.
Yeah, we do.
That is true.
Permission to crack, permission to snap.
Love that.
Sets the tone.
Okay. Enough about us.
Never.
Let's just keep it rolling. I kind of want to go back and double click on where we very quickly skimmed the surface before, Alana. Just a moment for your why and the pod. I know you concretely shared like how you got started and all of that, but dive a little bit deeper, even into like the name, seeing other people, like why this?
Seeing other people, the naming process was really random. I went through a list of like 40 names and I hated them all and eventually narrowed it down. And then like I literally had people vote on Instagram and seeing other people kept winning the polls. And I was really annoyed because I did not like it. And I just caved. And I mean, it's the best name ever for the podcast. And I can't imagine it being named anything else. But on a more thoughtful note, the why. I mean, my why for everything I do is because, you know, my dating life, not only was it like a dumpster fire, but I felt so alone in so much that I went through, from breakups to, you know, not feeling like I was good enough for the people that I was interested in, to questioning like, well, why does it seem like everyone else around me can get into a relationship except for me? There must be something wrong with me. I felt all of these things and I felt so alone in these thoughts. And I started opening up a little bit on social media about not like, oh, I'm going on this date, I'm going on that date, here's what this asshole said to me, like, how dare this person ghost me, but like about the realities of how hard it was and how like emotionally draining it was. And once I started doing that, my DMs were flooded with messages of people not giving me advice, but thanking me for showing that side of the dating world, because this was like 2018 and people weren't being vulnerable on social media at the time. And so once I realized, wow, like I can actually use my voice and use these negative experiences to help other people feel less alone, like that makes every bad date and every heartbreak worth it. And so it started with content on social media and it transitioned over time into a podcast. And I mean, even now, like I'm in a relationship. I mean, I'm married now, but I wouldn't be who I am today without the heartbreak I went through, without, you know, all the boys I cried over. And so I just want to remind everyone out there that no matter what they're going through, they're not alone. And even, you know, in relationships, like some people come and go, and I want people to know no matter what happens, like they're going to be okay.
Did you ever find when you met your now husband, you started dating, you knew it was going to be serious, did you reach a point of like kind of this like existential crisis of like, well, my brand is that I'm seeing other people. My brand is like when Carrie Bradshaw like settles down, like what does that mean for her column? What does that mean for the show?
It's funny. So when I was working at Hinge, I remember I was like 3 or 4 months in and I met a guy and I was nervous. I'm like, well, you know, like my job is like talking about being single and dating on the Hinge social media. And I remember going to my boss and being like, this is a weird question, but like, am I allowed to have a boyfriend? happened? Like, I genuinely wasn't sure. This was a legitimate question that I asked my boss. And my boss was like, oh my God, Anna, like,
good Lord.
My boss was like, Anna, of course, like, go get your man. But I did definitely have questions of like, will it make me less relatable? Or like, will people not, you know, want to hear my stories anymore? And the reality, what ended up happening was people actually trusted me more because, you know, as somebody who had started giving advice at this point, people were like, wow, like Alana takes her advice and it works. And Alana has opened up about all of the shit that she's gone through in her dating life. And she's now, you know, happy in a relationship. She's talked about how, you know, how anxious attached she was and how much dating anxiety she had. And she now feels secure with somebody. And if she can do it, so can I. And that's continued over the years as, you know, Jake and I moved in together, as we got engaged, as we got married. People have said that they look to me and my story as like hope that, you know, they can do it too. And I think that's like a beautiful message of like, everybody grows and evolves. You don't have to be stuck in a box and stay there forever. I definitely, you know, there are times where I'm like, oh, if I was single, I'd have like more dating stories to share. It, you know, my whole thing was creating content about being single and like being hopelessly single. And so I did have to evolve that over time into, you know, I just can't go do a trend and talk about like being single and getting ghosted for the 100th time now, because that's so not the position I'm in. But, you know, as I progressed, it opened up a whole new world of content that I could create.
You were talking the talk and walking the walk, which I think made you so relatable for people. Mm-hmm. And then leaning in more to the evolution of yourself, Mel and I love to say whips, like work in progress. Mm-hmm. And in that vein of you being a whip, what would you go back and tell a younger version of yourself?
Ooh, don't think too much about it. Like, don't question, is this piece of content good enough? Should I talk about this on the podcast? Like, just go for it, throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, see what feels good. And don't, you know, put too much pressure on perfection.
I think that's great advice. I mean, to your younger self and to anyone listening, truly. Yeah. Because I think that's I think we just posted something yesterday about that, about like how debilitating it can be when you're like waiting for to be ready or waiting for something to be perfect. And any advice you hear from anyone that's had success in any domain that they're in, they're like, don't wait to be ready. Don't wait until it's perfect. Just do it. Just go out and do it. And again, having your brand and your business being tied to your personal life, that can be really scary too, right? Like just putting it all out there when it does, it might not feel perfect, especially on social media, which can be a bit idealistic at times.
Totally. And I try to be really cognizant of that. Like, I love my relationship. I wouldn't change a thing, but I try not to, you know, post, and I don't want other people to be like, oh, well, you know, Alana's relationship is perfect. And that's like what I need. Like, every relationship is different. Everyone is flawed. Like, I'm deeply flawed, you know, like, so is everyone in my life. I think I try to show the imperfections too. And, you know, a mix of like more serious and more lighthearted content is important, because like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and it's also not all like laughing and hanging out, and it's also not all serious. Like, it really is a mix of everything. And so I just try and reflect that.
How do you navigate that with Jake as it relates to what to share versus what not to share?
You know, I think up until this point, like we've been together for 4.5 years, we've been married for a year. There hasn't been anything that we're like, let's not talk about this. I mean, I've never been one to like talk about my sex life, even in content, even when I was single. And that's something that like I would never want to do with my relationship at all. But like, that's not something he had to ask. I was just like that was me. Like, I would never want to do that anyway. And then beyond that, like, I think I'm really open to talking about anything. I do wonder how things will change once we start, you know, trying to start a family and going through all of that. But again, that's something that we'll tackle it as it comes. And if there's ever anything that, you know, he doesn't want me to share, I would never be like, no, we should share it for content, for views. Mm-hmm. If anything, he'd be the one being like, share it for content, share it for views. Share it so we can send the kids to summer camp.
Oh my God, $100 a minute.
Literally.
My Lord.
What, tell me about, we don't have kids yet. We are not pregnant. We are looking up the prices of summer camp.
It's insane.
Why are we doing this now?
It's Alana, it's so insane. Everything is so expensive. Like,
I don't
literally.
Understand. Told me that her summer camp registration, the registration window opens up, like the lot, like whatever, when you get online, it yeah. opened at oh, midnight. So these parents are online at midnight waiting to like who comes up with these systems? God. Like that alone.
Not parents. That's for sure.
Midnight. I mean, I guess on some degree they're like, well, we can't do 9 a.m. Like, let's give them a break. But it's like, could you do 12 p.m.? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's no just right time. Like, reality. No. Apropos to what we were saying before, too.
But also, hold on. Is it now, like, that competitive that you need to register the second it goes live?
Yes. Certain camps. Yeah,
that's crazy. Insane.
And for soccer, I just signed my son up. He'll be 5 in September for like the pre-K rec soccer in town. And it was intense. I had to get on at a certain time. I was like, oh my God, I got to fill everything out.
I'm sorry. Crazy. Our generation has way too much Ticketmaster PTSD for this.
I know.
You are telling me. It's literally terrible. As I wear my Taylor Swift like Etsy shirt because she could not go to the concert.
Wait, I didn't see this shirt. What does it say?
It says God Save the Queen. And it's Taylor. That's so funny.
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, it's crazy out there. I just, you know, put it on a shelf until you have to worry about it.
And then use your voice to try and cycle break. That's me. Ryan's like, seriously. Here she goes again.
Literally.
Miss Box coming through on like, sit your tush down. This is unacceptable.
Just wait. Fast forward a few years and I'm going to be posting like day one of me begging any of these summer camps to accept my child and give us 100% discount on tuition in exchange for content. Yeah, day literally. 37 of me begging for my child to go to any of these camps in exchange for content. Day 143, please get my child. That's like what I'm going to have to do.
But like, it's funny. Yeah. Like we laugh, but like these are like such real things too. And it's crazy how quickly you're there. Like you blink and you're there. And we were even talking about it with our daughter, like she goes to full-time daycare and that, like I literally peed on the stick and I hadn't told most of my family and closest friends when I was touring daycares. Like at that point, I didn't even know the gender yet, but I was touring daycares because you had to get on a list. And we were talking about once she's in kindergarten and then our younger one will be in daycare, like with full-time summertime care and she won't like, we're like, what is that going to look like? Like, are we going to get a nanny? And like, I didn't go to camp growing up. I went to the beach all day. Like, so for me, I'm like, it makes me sad to kind of think about her going to a camp, like having to go to camp because that's not what I did. But I know it's like what everyone does and everyone loves it. And I start getting stressed about it. I'm like, well, maybe we could do like a nanny share. But like, I can't be paying for a nanny for her and daycare for him. So am I going to take him out of like daycare summer camp so that that's he can so be crazy. Here with a nanny? Like, and we're talking like what? 4 years from now. But it keeps me up at night. It really does. I need a plan. He's not even here yet.
It's insane. It's so insane.
Tomorrow problems.
Tomorrow yep. problems. Anyway.
We digress, but a very important digress. But yeah, the tomorrow problems thing, that's my new go-to.
Problem just for tomorrow.
Yeah,
future
exactly.
Future Alana.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Speaking of tomorrow's or yesteryear's, what has surprised you most on your journey, Alana, so far?
Ooh, okay. Which part of my journey?
That's a great question. Let's do two prong. Okay. So I'll be a little bit more granular. So on your professional journey, when I think about you, when I personally think about you, I think about your podcast being an extension of everything you're doing right now. Was it always that way or did you find, was it podcast was main and then like you started, cause you're everywhere all the time doing all these different pop-ups and you're a dating expert, your relationship coach, like all of these things. So along the journey, was there a shift where like
things started to kind of level out in all your different branches, or do you still see your podcast as your primary thing?
That is a great question. We could talk about this for 10 hours because I try and figure it out every day what makes the most sense. But I think my podcast has always been like, in theory, the way I wanted things to be was that the podcast would be the center. I believe that your podcast is only good as the social content you create to promote it. Otherwise, the tree is falling in the woods and nobody knows it fell because no one can hear it. So unfortunately, I had to become a content creator slash influencer, which that term I was so deeply allergic to for probably the first 2 years of doing it. It was so just negatively perceived at the time when I started. And so like anytime people would be like,
Alana, just to like carve out space there.
Literally everyone. Like even other people who were doing, none of us wanted to be referred to as influencers because it kind of was like, oh, well, we just don't want to be working and we just like make silly little videos. And it's like, well, I'm trying to like be a host a podcast and help people. I'm not selling fit tea on Instagram. And obviously like things have shifted and like a lot of people are influencers now. I'm not ashamed to be one by any means, but I essentially had to become an influencer as a result of wanting to be a podcast host. And then dating coaching, I fell into that accidentally where one of my listeners actually just asked me to be her dating coach. And I was like, I have never done this before. I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, that's fine. I know that. Like, I know you don't do this, but I like really want to learn from you and I really trust you. And I just want someone to hold me accountable and, you know, teach me what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. And so she like started paying me weekly to coach her, even though she knew that I had no idea what I was doing. And I found so much joy in that process. And so I started doing it more and more. I also would get asked all the time, like, can you review my dating app profile? Can you fix my profile? So I like just posted that I do dating profile revamps and I made a bookable Calendly link and people started booking them. And then over time, I got into, you know, doing events too, to bring my community together. And to, again, like, I think all of this comes back to, I have to wear so many hats because I need to make money and pay rent. And as much as I wish, honestly, I wish I could just be a podcast host, but seeing other people probably only accounts for 25% of my income. Yeah. The majority of my income comes from content creation. And then another small portion from the coaching and the events. And so I have to do a million things in order to make ends meet and to make it work. But over time, I've learned to love that because it means every day is different. It means, you know, sometimes I'm just on my own island, like working by myself, but other days I'm talking to so many different people. I think there are a lot of pros and cons to every job, but I ultimately feel so lucky to be doing what I'm doing. And I think like what's been the most surprising thing is that I've been able to make it work.
That was going to be my next question. Along the journey, have you ever like taken a step back and been like, wow, like, because I meant to text Michelle this morning. I was like, oh, we just put out our 60th episode. Like, that's kind of crazy.
It's crazy.
Like, we used to text each other like in 5-episode increments. Like,
episode 10.
Now we're just dropping 60 and like moving on with our day.
No
and
big deal.
Yeah. And it's great. And like, we try to be really cognizant of carving out space for gratitude moments for each other. But I don't think we've continued to evolve and grow, we're not as intentional as taking out space to pause and like reflect on where we are right now. Like, this is really cool and what we've done and thus far. Have you along that journey taken those moments to be like, wow, I didn't have to go get another job. Like, I did bet on myself and that's pretty great. And do you remember any specific moments when that happened?
Yeah. You know, I try to, but it's really hard. It's like, on one hand, you have to do it because there's nobody, I don't have a boss saying, good job, or you crushed this project, or congratulations, here's a promotion. Like, I do have to celebrate my own wins. And it's interesting because on one hand, like, there are so many wins on paper. It's like that, like, everyone can see, you know, I get an awesome brand partnership, or I hit a new milestone of followers, or I hit a number of episodes. I think there are some crazy beyond my wildest dream moments that have happened that's like, oh my god, whoa, like I the New York Times wrote about seeing other people.
Mm-hmm. So cool.
Like, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, so what? Like, so what? And, you know, like, I went on the Today Show. That was amazing. But then, like, so it's like, on one hand, these are the craziest things that could ever possibly happen. But on the other hand, like, A, it, like, okay.
Is it a and so what or now what?
Now, that would, and then that was B, is now what? Because it's like, well, how can I top that? Or I have to do that again? Or what's the next big thing? It's like, people always ask, like, who's your dream guest? Like, in the back of, or in the top of my mind, my whole life long dream guest for anything would have been the Jonas Brothers. Okay, I interviewed them. Now what?
Mel's face. Because, wait. Tell her.
You did?
Tell her.
You did. You've been on the same podcast as the Jonas Brothers.
They're on our manifesto list.
Yeah, I think I actually knew that. And then when I saw that you weren't there, I was actually listening to them all this morning. I'm in a really deep deprivation level of new Harry Styles music, and I really like the Jonas Brothers, but I found myself like really leaning into them recently, and I think it's like filling a bit of a void. Like, my crush status is getting higher. Like, it's just all around. But wow, they're definitely on her, because they're just such, I don't want to digress away from your story, but just like really quick.
They're good.
Like, there is something so approachable about them. And just like, they're just so unserious. Like, I really hope, and I need you to confirm this for me, I really hope that it's not a shtick and that really is how they are. But like, just like, especially Joe, like, I just feel like they're just so un-effing serious. And it's the cutest thing to me in the whole world.
You know what? While we were recording, we had to like pause for a minute because someone had to like change a memory card, and somehow we got into a conversation about driving. I don't know. I think it was with me and Joe. I'm pretty sure it was with me and Joe. It could have been Kevin. I know it wasn't Nick, but somehow we just started talking about like when you're driving and you zone out, and like 20 minutes later you look up and you're like still driving and you had no idea how you got there. And like the other two were like, oh my God, remind us to never get in cars with you guys again. Like, are you? And this was just like so casual and random. And then like, we're all cracking up about like not paying attention while driving, which like, obviously we're paying attention, but like, you know what I mean? When you just zone out.
Yeah,
like,
you're not a joke.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like, and that was just like in a 20 second, like random break, like somehow we just talked about that. Like, they are the most, they're so normal. Like, they're just normal guys.
Oh my God, that is just so
awesome.
Cool.
But to your point, like, you have these amazing moments.
Yes.
And then like, and then you go and you book your next guest. The episode drops. And then and then you move on.
It's a thing though, Alana. It's called arrival fallacy. Remember, Mel, we talked about that with Todd. Where you're striving, you're putting in everything, and then it's like, okay, so what? And now what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get stuck there.
Yeah. But I try to, you know, like, even my most boring day, like, is still a great day. I love dull moments. I want a life of dull moments. Like, I don't need high highs and low lows. I just want things to be kind of consistent and chill. And so I'm okay when I don't have, like, a huge thing going on. But it does make celebrating things kind of weird. Because also, you know, I see there will be all these trends where, like, people are, like, celebrating things. And, like, I also feel obnoxious then celebrating, like, the Today Show, the New York Times, Jonas Brothers, Tamron Hall, like, Spotify top chart. Like, it just feels, like, weird.
Yeah.
I totally get that. I feel like it's so natural to feel that way. But from the outside looking in, and I'm not just saying this, like, your, for example, 2024 review that you put up at the top of this year, and it wasn't even 2024. It was your 5-year review. It's like went through like how you built this, basically. It was kind of like a mini on Instagram stories. And Michelle and I devoured
it. We loved it.
I literally had no idea what you're talking about, which
so
is the funniest
part.
At
the end of 2024, it was like everyone was posting like their highlights of the year, essentially. Yeah. And you went through and posted from the beginning of seeing other people and like how it all, and
it was amazing.
It was probably
amazing.
Like 50 stories, like just to like backtrack
this is coming back to me.
And we devoured it. We talked about it offline, and we just saw it as completely inspirational. And I'm intentionally not using the word aspirational because it wasn't this like
oh, how could we never get there? Like, was really tangible. And it was like, wow, like, this is just so inspirational to see her do all these things and on your own. And then when we left your apartment after recording, I think we might have talked about this on our episode afterwards, but we left and you know, you just had a few things you were going to do that afternoon. You had a coaching appointment and, you know, as two like moms, I had to like essentially take the day off and wouldn't it be so nice to just like have a few more things today. And I was like, well, honestly, we never were there because I know for a fact, like I always had, I still do full-time job and in an office 5 days a week before a pandemic and whatnot. And I know that if I had had the opportunity for my life to look the way yours does right now, I would have not had the same self-discipline that you do to run and push at everything you're pushing at right now. And it creates an incredibly disciplined and determined person to be pushing towards everything you're pushing towards consistently without someone dangling a promotion or dangling a bonus or holding you accountable for to do all those things. So if you ever want to just brag about what's going on and just be celebrated, you text Michelle and I because we will be like,
so well,
effing go. That is amazing. And surrounding yourself with people that will celebrate all of those wins and all of the dull moments is so important because I think we're our own biggest critics when we like look at that and we're like, oh, this is obnoxious. Like, F that. If someone thinks it's obnoxious, that's just a mirror to what they have going on. Anyone that's worth it is celebrating you on the sidelines.
Exactly.
100%. And I found it. I actually did save it into a highlight, 4 years of SOP.
It was so good.
It was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. So I want to rewatch it now.
Me too, literally.
It's so inspirational, just the way, the whole gestalt of it. It was incredible. But I remember too, Alana, when we were gushing over you after our episode on seeing other people, you're like, oh, I'm so bad at taking compliments. I think this is so directly connected to that too.
Yeah.
And so don't forget, like, the best way to highlight yourself is actually to highlight other people. Mm-hmm. And so with that being a constant stream in your podcast of seeing other people, the other accolades are going to come and you have to showcase those too. So be proud of them and who gives a hoot or give a hoot about what other people think and proceed.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
and
true.
Proceed.
This is true.
So let's actually take a left turn. We have some listener questions. So we would love to have your skills and advice be really put to use in some of these questions. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. The first one, how do you make date night feel intentional and not just like another item on your to-do list?
Great question. I think the first thing you have to do is say, this is a date night. Like you have to do something to separate normal life from your date night, your intentional date night. You have to recognize we're doing something that we want to feel different. And so maybe it's, you know, even if it's an at-home date night, if you have a house, maybe there's a room, you have like a living room that you guys don't really use, go have your date night in that room, put music on, and maybe dress up, like put on an outfit as if you were going out. Or if you both like really want to be comfortable, like, okay, like we're going to be comfy, but we still want to make this different than just the average night. I think starting there, it doesn't have to be like your intentional date night doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It just needs to be based on connection. And so, you know, you can say like, let's put our phones away. Like we can take a phone break if we really need to, or if something's going on, like we can have them around just in case, but let's not be on our phones. Like let's, you know, talk about what we want to do tonight. Maybe, do we want to play a game? Do we want to watch a movie? Do we want to, you know, do this deck of cards where we're asking different questions? Like, do we want to recreate one of our earliest dates, you know, to add a level of nostalgia and romance into it? I think really like communicating about what you want to get out of the date and how you can make the date feel different than every other night. It can take 30 seconds to actually do that. And that can set the tone.
That's great advice. I'm literally aggressively nodding because I'm like, yep, that's honestly not something I've really thought of tangibly. Like I think of it like, oh, we need to get something on the calendar, but like being intentional around naming it. I think that's really so important, especially in the phase of life. Honestly, I'd argue it's probably even more important in the phase of life you're in, Alana, because I think like you do get a lot of time together, just the two of you. So being intentional about carving out that separate space, whereas like at least
you know, I'll speak for myself, but in my, like, we don't, it's like pretty clear when it's a date night because it's like the dogs and the children aren't around. But right. That being said, I think even just when it's going onto the calendar, not just like, hey, we should go to dinner. Like, no, it's a date night. Like, let's really.
Exactly.
Put, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. That's a great point. Because like me and Jake, I mean, we'll eat dinner and hang out most nights of the week, but there's a difference between just like cooking a Blue Apron meal and sitting on the couch catching up on one of our shows versus saying like, okay, let's cook a really fun meal tonight. Let's go to the grocery store together, like pick out the ingredients, like pick up wine and then like play Rummy Cube and then take Barkley to the park. Like those could both happen on any Wednesday night, but one is just a night and the other is a date night.
Love that.
Totally. And it doesn't have to be this big thing. I like that you mentioned that too. Like even it could be a special recipe. Maybe it reminds you of a trip that you took. Ryan and I like to do Thai. It reminds us of our honeymoon, like little things like that to just like sprinkle in some type of romanticism. I think it can help.
Agreed.
Love it. All right. Next cue. Mel.
What are some fun ways to bring back the getting to know you energy when you already know everything?
Oh, that's fun. Okay. I think, well, first of all, you don't know everything. You might think you know everything. You don't. There are still, I think there will always be new stories to discover. I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there will always be something else.
Yes.
I think, you know, thinking back to those early dates, it wasn't just about getting to know the person. It was about trying new places, trying new things, experiencing life in a different way with a new person. So maybe it's, you know, getting out of your routine and going. And even if like you, let's say you met in the city and now you live in the suburbs, like going to the city and going back to that restaurant and then reminiscing on the early days and talking about your favorite moments. You know, you could... Jake and I actually, we have a list of every single date we've ever been on, and we will play a game where we'll be like, okay, on what date do you think we went to Pill Pill for the first time? Or how many dates do you think we've been on with Angelo and Suze? And like, we'll play a guessing game out of it. We do this a lot if we're like waiting in a line or like on the subway or like waiting for food to come. And it just brings back all of these different like memories and moments that we wouldn't have thought of in the moment otherwise. And it's really fun to like reflect on those things too. So any way that you can, I think, remind yourself of those early stages, even though like maybe you're not, you know, doing something completely new or talking about something completely new, you can learn more about like, well, what was your partner's favorite part of falling in love with you? What's their favorite memory from the beginning stages? What did they first notice about you? Like, there are still questions that you can ask and things that you can also share too. I even think about, you know, in my 1 year anniversary card to Jake, I quoted something that he said in his vows, and I'm like, this has just become so true for me. Like, you wrote in your vows that like you love that I let you be you, and like it was like, quote, like, I love that you let me be me. And that's something that I've felt over the last few months of like, Jake really like lets me be me and like celebrates me for me. And so I wanted to acknowledge that. And I think like thinking about things like that are really special too.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's so nice to see you being so intentional about these things now, because as someone who's been married for, Michelle, how long are you going to be?
8. Yeah. It's insane.
So that makes me 7.
7.
The way in which you're so intentional about this now in your relationship, it just shows like this is going to just continue to evolve and transform.
Right.
Versus I think a lot of times people aren't thinking about these things until they need to, which is okay too. Like there's no part of the process that's not worthy of reflection, but just knowing like you're already doing all of those things is just it. I'm so excited for you guys because I think it's going to be just such a fruitful like evolution together.
Thank you. That means
so exciting. So exciting. And listen, like there are so many crevices of each individual's existence. Mm-hmm. Like Ryan was telling me last week about his experience at camp. Like him being a camper as like an 8-year-old, and he was a counselor favorite. And I heard these stories that I've never heard before, and I've been with him for 18 years. And hearing that he was the favorite, because obviously, why wouldn't he be the favorite with his like beach blonde hair? And I'm like, oh my God, I like love you more than I did. And I didn't even know that story. And I'm hearing about a part of you that I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. And that's, there's so much value in going down those paths with people. So just to build on what you were saying, Alana, I love that.
I love that. There's also like, we're constantly growing and changing. And so there are parts of your partner that they're still getting to know that you haven't even met yet, that they haven't met yet. So I think there's always something new to discover.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually going to say that too. The evolution that you both, it's important that you keep evolving and growing together and also as individuals. And with work and, you know, being really intentional with your relationship, the hope is that you grow as individuals and together at the same time. And you're not going to be the same person you were when you got married or when you mm-hmm. met. I just had a conversation with Mike a couple weeks ago, and it came up so organically, but how he's just like, yeah, I think just like my approach or philosophy on certain things has changed. And it just like opened up this whole thing. And it was like, wow, you know, I love hearing about that and love, because otherwise you just kind of operate under assumptions. And then, you know, whether it's an argument or a disagreement, or you hear someone say something across the room, like when you're with friends and you're like, excuse me? Like, right. You feel that way? Like, what?
Come again.
Exactly. So,
and that's your vows really being like tested and put in, like, let you be you.
Yeah.
Whether it's Mel leaning into plan B when she didn't expect to be a solo with drop off and all of that, like whatever you're feeling, let you be you, right? Mm-hmm. Or something on the more positive side. I love that. It's such a realism.
It's funny. Jake came home from work the other week and I was sitting there playing Xbox and listening to an audiobook. And Jake has always played Xbox. And I recently was like, oh, like I remember there was this like snowboarding game, SSX Tricky, that I was obsessed with. Like, could I buy that on your Xbox? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, wait, I want to do that. And so I bought this game and suddenly I'm spending my nights playing Xbox. And we just started cracking up because I like the three, like in this little Xbox phase, I was like, the three things that I'm doing the most right now are reading, running, and playing Xbox. A year ago, I didn't do any of these things. Yeah. Like, I'm already a different person than the person you married. And, like, that's just going to keep changing, too. Exactly. Like, I don't play Xbox anymore. I'm already out of that phase a month later.
Literally, I can't imagine the amount of, like, radio stations you're trying to tune down in your brain that you're listening to an audiobook while playing Xbox. Like, she is, like, actively trying to, like, disconnect from her day.
Yup. Exactly.
That's amazing.
All right, yes. We have one more quick question before we unfortunately end this beautiful session. So I think this is more of a cue for all of us, because you'll see why. So I think we could like probably end on maybe, you know, taking a stab at it together. But any tips for carving out quality time when life feels like a nonstop game of calendar Tetris with kids, work, and everything in between?
I think if this goes back to what we said before about like acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. You know, acknowledge it. And maybe for a little while, you could ask parent or hire someone to help at one point. Maybe instead of going to the grocery store and spending an hour doing that, you can spend 10 minutes ordering your groceries. And then instead of, you know, cleaning your entire home, you can have someone this one time come and clean your home. Yes, it's a financial investment, but it gives you back that time that you could spend connecting with your partner if that's the priority right now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great advice, truly. You can't do everything.
Yeah.
It's rooted in asking for help, whether it's hiring it or asking for it, but it's so true. And I honestly couldn't agree more. I think some things have to give, and there's the juggle of like, you have rubber balls and you have glass balls, right? And you're constantly juggling, and you have to take a step back and think about which ones are going to bounce back and which ones aren't. And sometimes there's times where, you know, Mike and I are making an active choice that like things are wild right now. And like, we don't maybe have that time this week or this month to do something just him and I, right? But that's because there's other glass balls that can't drop. But then like,
your relationship should really be one of those, right? And making sure that you're not consistently assuming it's a rubber ball, because if you're just constantly assuming your relationship is a rubber ball in the juggle, it might not bounce back.
Yeah. You know, there are certain things worth fighting for, and then there are certain things not. So that, in conjunction with your partner, it's important to prioritize what needs to be prioritized. Not going to be every day. If it can't be every day, how can you carve out a little bit? Maybe it's a shower together, not sexual shower, but like Mel and I have talked about that before, where it's just like, hey, let's just like carve out some space.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's chat about the day in here, in this steamy room.
Yes, exactly.
However, like, you can think creatively together about how to carve it out. It is a Tetris game. Ryan and I really try to be intentional on the weekends because we feel like there's just chores all the time that we're like, okay, we almost have to think about Saturday as two blocks of time, like pre-nap, post-nap. Alana, this is what you have to look forward to. And Sunday, same thing, like two blocks of time, pre-nap and post-nap. And if we're doing one chore-related task, then we have one fun family-related task, whether it's going to the park or riding bikes or playing mini golf, something that has nothing to do with checking off a box other than together time. And I think you almost have to approach it that way also with your partner, and when to do that.
And with that, is it possible that you can make chores fun and a together activity? You
know, totally.
Go into it being like, it sucks that we have to do this. It's like exhausting. The house is always a mess. Like, we're always cleaning up. Or you could be like, okay, the house is a mess. We have to clean up. Let's put on some music. Like,
totally.
Let's like tackle it room by room instead of dividing and conquering. But like, you can vacuum and I'll dust. Or,
oh my gosh,
I'll
yes.
fold clothes while you do this other thing. Like, you can still do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to. Mel and I preach that, like, what's on your responsibility landscape? What can I do? What can we do together? Mm-hmm. And yeah, make it fun. Put on some Jonas Brothers.
Yep. That's right. Are you going to, what's it called? Their tour that they're doing this year.
Greetings from your hometown. Yes, I am.
Which one are you going to?
MetLife, the first one.
I really want to go. Like, I really, really want to go, but I'm going to be really pregnant. Is this the one that's in September?
August 10th.
Oh, you can do that. Let's put on a vision board to research.
Yeah.
I just like to love all the, like, it's really selling me. It's really selling me.
I think you should do it. Also, because it's so big, like, it's such a big venue, tickets are really cheap there.
Yeah, no, that's what I was seeing, too. I didn't get my hook, so I had, like, a whole laundry list of people I wanted to see this year. It's just not going to happen because I'm like, where do we get off? When did this happen? What it's happened insane. To $30 tickets to OAR at PNC Bank? Which even that I had to ask my parents for at that point. But like still, like, what is happening? It's like
that's
a rest payment.
So
but anyway.
Oh, man.
That's okay, great. I digress. Alana, thank you so much for joining us. As always, the best. We can't wait to just pick your brain once again. I think I need, like, we talked about this last time, but I need, like, a dinner or a lunch where we can really sit down and I can truly just, like, dive in to all the background and under the hood and everything.
Same. No, I would love that. Also, it's so crazy. Like, I remember we put the Seeing Other People recording on the calendar, like, so far in advance, and it came up so quickly. I can't believe this is happening right
insane.
Now.
It's insane. I know.
What?
You had your anniversary trip. You were so excited about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Time is such a crazy thing.
Crazy.
It goes by.
It does.
Alana, we typically do ask our guests to share, like, one little mantra or thought nugget to keep in your back pocket for a rainy day. Does anything come to mind?
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Love. Ooh. Love
that. Oh, my God.
That
could not be more... us coded.
I mean,
could not, we're not mind readers. Don't operate under the assumption umbrella.
Get out of it. Get out.
If you can't read someone's mind, they can't read yours, period.
Ooh.
Can you say one more time? What was it? If you don't ask, you don't get.
Yep. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Obsessed.
Wow.
New merch strap.
Oh, I may need to get that tattoo. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Alana,
oh,
where can everyone find you?
I can be found at Alana Dunn on Instagram and TikTok and at Seeing Other People on Instagram. And you can check out the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for joining us. You all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and all the other fun things. And like, subscribe, share with any of your friends who need either their dating advice, married life advice, kids advice. I mean, Alana has it all. She's across the spectrum at this point. So, all right. Well, thank you so much.
I don't think anyone's taking parenting advice from the not parent in the room.
Listen,
but, okay.
Those within the realm of your relationship, everything you said today was applicable. We were like, that's great advice. So listen, the relationship is a relationship. That was there before the kids were.
True. Husband and wife first.
Yep. Or wife and wife.
Partner
or
and partner.
Husband and partner and partner.
Correct.
Bird and bird.
Flamingo and flamingo.
All right. Love you so much.
Love you. Give yourself a smooch.
Give yourself a smooch. Bye.